You are listening to the Texas Standard.
Sunday will mark the second presidential debate for candidates vying to be the next political leader of Mexico. The debate will be televised and take place in the border city of Tijuana. The tone of the front runner, who is Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, hasn't particularly been warm toward the Trump administration, and a win from that camp could signal a monumental shift in U.S.-Mexico relations. Tony Payan is the director of the Mexico Center at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy. He's been watching this election closely. Professor Payan, welcome to Texas Standard.
Thank you.
In a sense, is Lopez Obrador a kind of Trumpish character in the sense that he is a populist?
Yes and no. I think I would characterize Mr. Trump as a populist from the right. In Mexico, Mr. Lopez Obrador is equally populist but catering to the left. So he'd be a figure a little bit more closer to somebody like Maduro. And in fact, he just gave a major speech in which he highly praised Fidel Castro of Cuba and so on. So he'd be on the left.
Interesting. So could he, in fact, change the dynamics were he to be elected? Could he change the dynamics between the United States and Mexico in profound ways?
Absolutely. I think we're up for a very turbulent couple of years until the 2020 presidential election in the United States. Mr. Lopez Obrador began his campaign in Ciudad Juarez across from El Paso, Texas, and for a couple of reasons. Number one is he needs to harvest votes in the northern states. And by the way, he's doing very well in the northern states. These are mostly right of center. These are mostly pan states. So there's clearly a reaction in those states towards all the rhetoric against the wall. And the other thing is, this is the exact place, just a stone's throw from the U.S.-Mexico border, where he said that Mexico would no longer be the piñata of Mr. Trump. And that was quite symbolic, because I think many Mexicans who believed for very long that there was a strategic partnership between the two countries are upset because Mr. Trump obviously considers Mexico more of an adversary rather than an ally.
And I guess it's rather symbolic that the debate that's scheduled for this weekend is going to be taking place in Tijuana, which obviously has strong ties to California. I want to pull back for just a moment and talk a little bit more broadly about the candidates in this race, because obviously we've been talking about Lopez Obrador. Mexico's former first lady was in this race, but she recently pulled out. Tell us more about the players and the challengers here.
Yeah, there are three large coalitions, right? The PAN, which is the right of center party, went with the PRD, which is a left of center, and the MC, which is also a left of center party. So that was kind of a strange coalition, but they knew they needed to add the votes of the three different parties if they wanted to make it to a plurality of the votes, which is about 35% to 38%, and make it to the presidency. Mr. Lopez Obrador, strangely, dragged into the coalition not only Morena, which is a leftist populist party, but also PT, the Workers' Party, which is outright communist, and then the PES, which is an evangelical right-wing party. So you're looking at these very strange coalitions taking place. The PRI, Mr. Peña's, the president of Mexico's party, is way behind. I think Mr. Mead is just not making it, and I think it's because Mr. Peña is very unpopular. The situation in Mexico itself is very complicated in terms of security, in terms of the economy, and of course the relationship with the United States. So nobody's even thinking about looking at them, but that's also a coalition. And then there's two independent candidates, Margarita Zavala, who is the wife of former President Felipe Calderon, and the governor of Nuevo León, who's turned out to be a very interesting figure, making some really strange proposals like cutting the hands off of thieves and criminals and things like that. Margarita Zavala, I think, was a failed bid from the very beginning. She was in the PAN. She left because Mr. Anaya pushed her out. She never picked up more than 3-4%. So I think she's essentially saying, look, we now need to come together and rally around Mr. Anaya, or we're going to lose the presidency to Mr. Lopez Obrador, and it will be a disaster for almost everybody.
What a terrific primer for the upcoming elections on July 1st. We've been speaking with Tony Payan. He is the director of the Mexico Center at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy. Professor Payan, thanks so much.
Thank you.